there's such a sweet spirit of the Lord here tonight. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just be sensitive to the Lord. If the Lord's speaking to you, we need an interpretation. Praise God. Jesus. Praise God. Let's just worship the Lord quietly. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just worship the Lord, church. Lord, we worship you, God. We worship you. Praise God. Praise God. If you've never experienced or been in a church before where something as such has just happened, it's called the tongues and interpretation, and it's how God has chosen to speak to his body. And it's biblical. It's in the book of Corinthians, 14th chapter. But if we could just stand tonight. God is speaking to us or spoke to us about fighting. Picking up our weapons and fighting. It's no coincidence that the title of my message tonight is Going on the Offensive. It's a combination of last Sunday morning and last Sunday evening's message, Going on the Offensive and Our Divine Breakthrough, is what we're going to be talking about tonight. We started off with Releasing the Glory. This is our series, Pray, Fast, Expect. The testing begins. Patience, patience. The test of frustration. We spoke of discouragement this morning and tonight. We will wrap this series up this month with Going on the Offensive and Our Divine Breakthrough. I'd like to read our key passage scripture once again. And our young people recently went to a hyphen conference. It actually wasn't hyphen, it was college CMI conference. And the key scripture, I believe, at the conference was also Matthew 17, 19 through 21. So I believe that God statewide, nationwide, and worldwide, is calling his church into a time of intense prayer and intense fasting, because he desires to have a breakthrough in our lives, the lives of our families, and a breakthrough in the lives of the people that live around us in our cities, our state, our country, and in our world. So here we read tonight, Matthew 17, 19 through 21. And Jesus, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" As I've said before, his disciples came across the man full of demonic spirits, and they were unable to cast them out. And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain." We can look at that and we can say, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the size of a pinhead, you can say unto whatever situation it is in your life, whatever situation you are battling in your family, no matter what it is, if you have faith, doesn't say you have to have a whole bunch of mustard seeds, doesn't say you have to have a bag of mustard seeds, 50 pounds, 100 pounds, a field full. It says just the faith of one little seed the size of a pinhead. You could say unto whatever the situation is in your life, situation, be gone, and it shall be given to you. We have that kind of power and authority. But unfortunately, so many times we do not even come close to exercising that. We're just scratching the surface. When Jesus stood before his disciples, before he ascended into the heavens, he gave them, he says, "Greater works than these shall ye do." What was he speaking about? He was speaking about greater works than raising Lazarus from the dead shall ye do. Greater works than healing the 10 lepers shall ye do. Greater works than taking and walking on the water and feeding 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fishes. He's telling and challenging his disciples, greater works, Peter, James, and John, Bartholomew, Andrew, Matthew, all of you, greater works shall ye do than what I did, because I go unto my Father. Remove hence to yonder place. Remove hence to yonder place. Speak to that mountain, that situation in your life, and remove it hence to yonder place. And it shall remove. And nothing, this just sends chill bumps through my spiritual spine, and nothing shall be impossible to you. We need to understand the power behind this, the authority behind this. We have got to get a grip on this, Calvary Gospel Church. Then Jesus has one of those little clauses in there. It's a little bit of a catch. And he says, "Howbeit, this kind," speaking of the demonic spirits in the man, "this kind goeth out," or not out, "but by prayer and fasting." Before we get into the word tonight, let's just lift our hands and let's just praise the Lord one more time. Praise God. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that the power of the Holy Ghost would flow through this place. I pray, Lord Jesus, God, that you would speak through me, Lord. like you have never spoke, Lord. God, I am unworthy, Lord God, to speak, Lord God, but I thank you, Lord, for choosing me, God. And God, I have said I will say what you want me to say. I will go where you want me to go, and I will do what you have asked me and called me to do. And I pray, God, that you would give me the power and the authority and the Holy Ghost tonight to preach to your people, Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, you may be seated. I would like to thank Brother Russell for Wednesday evening. We had a leadership meeting, and he spoke on the subject of expect. And he did a superb job, and thank you so very much, Brother Russell. I thank Brother and Sister Russell for all of their support here to the ministry at Calvary Gospel Church, and they are so valuable to this congregation, and it's such an honor to have them here. In our leadership meeting, God also spoke. I challenged our leadership team for this year. At the conclusion of our meeting, we had a tongues interpretation, and God spoke to us in that interpretation. I believe it was three times he mentioned to consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves. Prepare yourselves. We are in a period of preparation, church. I'd like to read a portion of Scripture in Daniel 10, verses 2 through 4, and then 7 through 12. I'm reading out of the New King James Version, because it is a little bit easier for me to read at times. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I sat by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, Daniel had a vision, and he goes in to explain the vision in verses 5 and 6. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I spake to you, and stand upright, for I now have been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have become because of your words. Daniel began to pray a prayer for the nation of Israel, and he began to pray that prayer, and he prayed that prayer every day for 21 days. He prayed that prayer, and not an answer came. He prayed, it seemed as though as he prayed, that the heavens were sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, and nothing was coming back from God. It was not like before, when he would fall on his face and he would pray out to God and God would have a conversation with him. This time there was nothing, but he felt a tap on his shoulder, and there stood an angel and said, I have heard your prayer. You have been praying for 21 days, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, Satan, a powerful prince in the kingdom of Satan, has withstood, has been blocking my way, has standing in the way for 21 days. And behold, Michael, and I'm presuming he's talking of Michael the archangel, Michael, one of the chief princesses, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. Tonight we are going to preach on the subject of going on the offensive, our divine breakthrough, church. We are going on the offensive, and we are going to experience a divine breakthrough. But I do feel, as God spoke to us as a leadership team on Wednesday night, there is still yet work in our hearts and in our lives and in our minds that is yet to be done. We are not reached the point of full consecration to God. I believe that in this last week that you and I, if you are serious in getting something from God and you are serious in where you want to go in God, that you are going to face the enemy like you have never faced him before. You are going to go toe to toe, and unless you put on the armor of God, unless you put on the weapons of our warfare, you will be defeated. We must battle up. We must gear up, because we are entering into a zone, a threshold. We are at the very tip of crossing into a threshold of land that we have yet to be. When we look at breakthroughs, a breakthrough is not always obvious. You can't always go back and look and say, this was the moment of my breakthrough. It's difficult to recognize at times the point of origin of a breakthrough. It can be like a dot to dot, or one of those puzzles that has all the various words that are all in the puzzle, a word search puzzle, and you have to circle the particular puzzle, and you look at the puzzle and it's just a bunch of letters, and then you begin to focus in on the puzzle, and as you focus in on the puzzle, you begin to take and you begin to find words out of what seemingly is nothing but a big jumbled mess of letters. And that is the way sometimes it is with God, that when we concentrate and we focus and we look beyond the surface at the image that is hidden beneath the surface begins to materialize, thus God begins to speak into our lives. Also, breakthroughs do not always begin when they are discovered. Sometimes they have a much earlier origin. Sometimes the breakthroughs begin at an earlier point. But breakthroughs always begin at the point where we set ourselves to seek the Lord through extensive prayer coupled with fasting and with humility. Over the past 2 weeks, church, there has been two wars that have been going on. There is a war that is within our flesh, and there is a war that is within our spirit. And now the battle of our flesh should be over by now. We should have, by and large, taken care of the flesh. Yes, we're still going to fight hunger. Yes, you're still going to have pain. Yes, you're still going to have cravings, but we are on the downside, on our way to victory. And church, I want to warn you tonight. I want to give you fair warning. You and I, we are in a war. Everything, understand one thing about God. Everything that God does is birthed through warfare and confrontation. While Daniel was praying, a war was being conducted over the nation. There was a war going on in the heavens. And while we are sitting here tonight at Calvary Gospel Church, there is a war that is going on. Some places, the war is outside of the building. Some people, the war is going on right inside of your heart and in your mind as I preach to you. We war with our flesh, we war in the spirit. Here Daniel was praying, and while he was praying, a war was being conducted over the nation. And Daniel, seemingly unaware of the battle, he wasn't even seemingly aware of his part in the battle. He was doing what he had done every day. He had gone before the Lord. He had brought his petitions before the Lord. And for some reason, for whatever it may be, there was something in that prayer. There was something in that petition. There was something in that Satan says, I do not want this to be answered. I'm going to battle over this one. I'm going to fight over this one. And I believe right here tonight, Calvary Gospel Church, that what God has promised us, Satan is going to do everything that he can do to hinder that and stop it. That's why you and I, in this last week of fasting, we have got to shift our focus in fasting, and we have got to go on the offensive. Church, we are in a war. whether you want to be in it or not. If you're a guest of ours tonight, I'm so thankful you to be here, for you to be here. But I want to tell you, I may not say everything that you like tonight, but I'm going to tell you the honest to God truth, because I owe that much to you. I'm a guy that's going to tell it like it is. You are in a war, and you may say, I'm not any kind of a war. If you're acknowledging the fact that you're not in a war, then you're already a prisoner of that war. Because there are two forces in this world. There's a force of good and a force of evil. It's not good as in all kinds of a nice, frilly, I like this, I like that, all kinds of social good. We're talking about a good as in God good and a bad as in devil bad. There is a God and there is a Satan. And there is a battle that has been going on in the celestial heavens since the very beginning of time over mankind's heart and soul, and we are in it whether you want to be in it or not. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the only way that this world could be reconciled back to him was God came in the flesh. He came as the man Christ Jesus, and he had to go to war, and he had to battle it out with Satan over the lives and the souls of mankind. Thus, wherever Jesus Christ went, wherever he went, he ticked off spirits. He got them frustrated. He got them angry. He got them mad. And everywhere he went, he provoked spiritual warfare. The demons would cry out, provoked by his presence, healing people from all kinds of diverse sicknesses and infirmities. They tried to stone him. They tried to drive him away. They even tried to kill him. And this meek Jesus that the world portrays, Jesus holding a small sheep, taking care of the little ones, that is him. But there's also a side of Jesus that is a warring side that goes out and it seeks out the enemy, and it methodically, one after another, begins to destroy the works of Satan. Jesus says, I came into this world for one thing, and that was to destroy the very works of Satan and to redeem mankind back unto myself. As we enter into this new year, we have entered in and we have chose to engage in a battle with the enemy. I have been feeling this for a very long time. I can't say I have been as prepared for this as I feel that I am now and that we are now. But church, when we pray, when we fast for the glory of God to rain down on us, just through the very act of prayer and fasting, we are provoking the spirit world as if we're going up to the devil himself and we're poking our finger right in his eyeball. It doesn't get any more provocative than that, Pastor Thomas. When we pray and when we fast, we provoke the enemy. When his glory, when God's glory and when his spirit shows up, understand one thing: when we feel the power and the presence of God flow into this place in worship, we lift our hands and we worship and we talk about the holiness of God. We talk about how we love God, how we love his holiness, how we reverent his spirit. We talk all about that, but in the same process of saying that, we are provoking something in the spirit world. You see, understand one thing. We are flesh. There's a whole world out there of spirit world. You and I can't see it, and we can't fight it in our flesh. We have to fight it spirit in spirit. We have to link ourselves up with the Word of God. We have to link ourselves up with God, and we have to link ourselves up with the angelic beings, the host of God himself, and say, listen, we are going to go shoulder to shoulder, toe to toe into battle with you. In order for us to win this war, In order for us as individuals to win this war, we cannot fight this war in our flesh. If you have a problem in your life tonight and you're struggling with some kind of an addiction or your whatever it may be in your life, people have all kinds of issues and all kinds of addictions. If you're struggling with it and you're trying to fight the battle in the flesh, you will not win. You won't do it. That's why you've been to every program that you can go to and you haven't been successful, because they try to take and tell you that once you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic. Rich Thomas was an alcoholic on his deathbed in University Hospital. He's not an alcoholic now. Don't give me that once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. He has been redeemed. It doesn't go that way here. We're at a whole different level. We talk about breakthrough. We sing the song, Lord of the Breakthrough. You are the Lord of the Breakthrough. Hear me now, church. Over the years of observation, I am convinced that most Christians, sad to say, Brother Russell, most Christians feel that breakthrough is blessing. And they think, because I come to church and I come down to an altar and pray, hear me now, church, hear me now, because this is where so many of us take wrong turns. We come down here to this altar to pray and God refills us and perhaps he answers a prayer or two, but we have not broken through to where God wants us to break through. God has blessed us, but we have not broken through. Just because they have a blessing doesn't mean you have a breakthrough. You see, no one ever breaks through in a blessing. Blessing is the end result of a breakthrough. And the only way you can break through, listen, hear me, the only way that you can break through whatever it is that is binding you tonight, the only way that you can break through is through confrontation with the enemy that is over the break, over whatever it is that's controlling you. You can't counsel, good counsel your way through a breakthrough. You need the Holy Ghost power. You need to get on your knees. You need to pray. You need to fast. You need to blow some snot out at an apostolic altar. And you need to have a Holy Ghost breakthrough, not just a good service blessing. We must confront our enemy. I'm making a lot of things mad tonight. But most Christians, I hate to say it, for years I was this way. We went around as pansies, not wanting to pick a fight. I've declared war on Ned. This town is no longer yours, Ned. Revival Ridge, Park Street, DeForest, Wanakee, Windsor, Poinette, Madison, all of the surrounding, Sun Prairie, Stoughton, McFarland, Deerfield, Marshall, I'm declaring war right now that it is no longer yours. This isn't just a bunch of hype. When I was a kid, our family moved to Shawnee, Wisconsin. Little town, I loved it there. In fact, I told my wife if I ever retired, Shawnee would be a nice place to go back to. I just really liked Shawnee, Wisconsin. And I attended a little elementary school there. It's still there, still an elementary school, still got the same playground. Lincoln Elementary for kindergarten and first grade. And it was there that I was introduced to the game of Red Rover. Now, understand one thing. I know I'm slimming down because of lack of nourishment. But when I was in the fifth grade, I barely tipped the scales at 50 pounds. Okay? In high school, I entered in my high school year as 97 pounds, and I graduated right around 112. I got married, I weighed 120. I was a skinny runt. And Red Rover was not a very good game for a skinny runt to play. It's very discouraging when you run as fast as you can and you can feel the wind whistling in your ears and you're running across the playground and you feel like you're doing 900 miles an hour and you slam into that line and you slam in between little Susie and Kate and they clothesline you and you find yourself flat on your back. The air knocked out of you with two little sweet kindergartners looking over you. But I was determined. You see, there was one thing that I was not from an early age. I was very stubborn. I wasn't going to quit. And I would do it over and over and over again. And finally, I had my breakthrough. I don't know how many times I landed flat on my back. I don't know how many times I saw that big orange burst of flash. I don't know how many times I got up and I could count the stars as they spun round about my eyeballs. But I was determined when they said, Red Rover, send Roy Grant right over, that I was going to break through. And I broke through. You see, and there's a spiritual game of Red Rover going on right here tonight. And forces of the evil are on one side, and forces of good are on another side. And they're crying out, Red Rover, send Matt Moran right over. And Matt Moran is going to put his armor on, and he's going to suit up, and he's going to start charging across that battlefield. And when he gets to the other side, he better be able to have his breakthrough. That is why we are fasting for 21 days. A breakthrough is significant and dramatic overcoming of a perceived obstacle, allowing the completion of a process. I was determined to win at Red Rover. In God, a breakthrough is much the same. A spiritual breakthrough means God breaks open a new realm in the spirit, and he brings us into that new realm, as the scripture says, from glory to glory. And so many times we do not reach that breakthrough point, so we settle for what we have gotten, and we give up on the quest. The Bible tells us not to get weary in well-doing, for in due season, for in due time, we will reap if we faint not. The Bible is paraphrasing that. It's saying, I'm telling you tonight, for in due season or in due time, we will reap if we do not give up. We will reap if we do not quit. Listen, church, God is calling us to step up into a new realm. He is calling us to step up into a new level with him from glory to glory. He is not asking us to stay. He does not desire us to stay where we are. But he says, if you're going to accomplish what I have for you to accomplish, you are going to have to step up. And in that step up, it's going to have a breakthrough. The challenge for you and I is to know that every mountaintop of victory, we also have a valley of the shadow of death. I challenge you tonight. I know that in between victories, there are struggles. And I challenge you tonight that in between breakthroughs are battles. And every new breakthrough, there's going to be a harder battle than we have ever fought. I am amazed when I look into World War II, and I mentioned this a little bit this morning about my father-in-law, as I stood there on Omaha and Normandy Beach there in Normandy, France. Omaha and Utah Beach were the two beaches that the Americans took
And at low tide, it was some 600 yards from low tide to where the cliffs began to dwell, or the cliffs began, and there was a seawall that was there that was a natural wall of the tide pushing in and pushing the sand up, and it was about 3 foot high. And on that day of June 6, 1944, almost a million men landed on that whole entire beach front on Utah and Omaha Beach. It was a few hundred thousand on each beach. And they thought that this is the mother of all battles. If we can take Utah Beach, if we can take Normandy, we will have the Germans beat. But let me tell you, that was not the end of the battle. That was the beginning of a breakthrough for the Allies on the European continent. But they had battle after battle after battle after battle, and the enemy counterattacked after counterattack after a counterattack. So church, as we enter into this phase of war, there will be battles and there will be counterattacks. There will be battles and there will be counterattacks. But we must continue to fight. We must continue to move forward. And we cannot quit. You see, battle in itself indicates breakthrough. You go into battle, and as you go into battle, that in itself is breakthrough. You see, God used Moses to deliver the children of Israel, but Moses had a battle, and that was Pharaoh. And he had to go into Pharaoh's palace, a man who stuttered, who was poor in speech, who had nothing to offer. And he had to go in and he had to confront the most powerful Pharaoh of the most powerful nation on earth. And he had a breakthrough. You see, but it didn't stop there. He won that battle. He had that breakthrough. Pharaoh's spirit was broken. He was not yet defeated, but he was broken. And the very next battle, the Israelites are finding themselves on the banks of the Red Sea. The Red Sea is in front of them. The Egyptian army is closing in behind them. And here stands Moses, and he begins to question God. God, are you sure? What are you going to do? How are we going to get out of this? And God says, I've got another breakthrough for you, Moses. I've got another breakthrough. I've got another battle. You're going to have to fight it, but you're going to get a breakthrough. I want you to take, and I want you to hold your rod out over that Red Sea. And as you hold your rod out, the wind is going to blow. And as the wind blew, the sea began to part, and Israel went across on dry ground. God provided them a breakthrough, and they had their last final battle with Pharaoh. But you see, it doesn't stop there. We could go in and we could look at David. David, he was used mightily as a king, but he had battles in his life. In order to have his breakthrough, he had to have battles. Goliath was not his first battle that he won. Goliath was not his first breakthrough. His first breakthrough in his battle was learning how to accurately shoot a slingshot. And then he took out a lion, and then he took out a bear. That was all part of his ultimate breakthrough that he was going to have when he stood and he ran towards the giant and he cried out, "You uncircumcised Philistine, how dare you make fun of my God?" He had many battles before he had his breakthrough, and once he had his breakthrough, that was just the beginning of many more battles and many more breakthroughs. The enemy will fight us harder than ever before because he knows that we are closer and closer to victory than ever before. And we cannot, church, we cannot give up at the border of our breakthrough. It's important for you and I to know something tonight, that strength is not born by seeing miracles. Did you hear what I said? Strength is not born by seeing miracles. We get strength by going through the struggles. We get strength by going through prayer and fasting and reading His Word, and the breakthrough produces the miracles. I've been preaching a long time, and I'm not even close to finish, so if our musicians can come. Unfortunately, in the struggle is where most people give up and quit. It's in the struggle. Church, we are right on the edge. We are right on the border of going to the next level in God. Right on the very edge. Right on the border. We cannot faint. We cannot give up. We cannot give in. If you stand to your feet tonight, I'm reminded of the story of Chuck Yeager. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he was the first man to ever break the sound barrier in an aircraft. Planes, the British had a program. They had the British Meteor, and it was a jet that would approach the speed of sound, which is near 760 miles an hour at sea level. Sound travels as it gets higher. It's less at 660 miles an hour at 40,000 feet. And as they tried, the Brits tried to take and break the sound barrier, wanting to be the first one to break it when they got just at the verge of the sound barrier. The planes that the men were flying would begin to shake violently. The pilots, afraid that the plane would shake itself apart, would back off and slow back down. At that time, no one knew for sure whether an airplane could structurally even exceed Mach 1, which is the speed of sound. But the U.S. Army was determined to be the first to do it. The Army had developed a small bullet-shaped aircraft called the Bell X-1. That was their challenge to the sound barrier. And Chuck Yeager, along with a pilot named Slick Goodland, had taken the Bell X-1 to 0.7 Mach, not quite reaching that formidable barrier. But they were determined. And on October 14th, 1947, Chuck Yeager climbed into the cockpit of the Bell X-1 to be released out from underneath a bomber. And on this day, Chuck Yeager had determined what I hope Calvary Gospel Church and the saints of Calvary Gospel Church will determine right here and right now. That I refuse to turn back now. If I die, I will die trying. No one is going to call me a pansy. No one is going to call me or accuse me of being a wimp. It is all or nothing. And as he shoved the controls forward, that formidable sonic wall, the X-Bell 1 went through that sonic wall without so much as a bump. And as the speed topped out at Mach 1.05, Yeager recalls he had the sensation of shooting straight through the top of the sky, and the sky turned into a deep purple, and all at once the stars and the moon came out and the sun shone at the same time. He had broken through the sound barrier. He had his breakthrough. We must keep fighting. This week, church, critical. battle. It is the final battle before the breakthrough. You see, strength is not born by seeing miracles. It is born through the struggle. You see, God is preparing us. God is preparing us to be made ready to inhabit our promised land. I want to close with this scripture in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. We are hard pressed on every side. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed. There may be times where we become perplexed, but we are not in despair. We may be persecuted. Persecutions may come. Jesus said that if you follow me, you must take up my cross and follow me, and we will be persecuted, but not struck down. We will not be abandoned, and we will be struck down, but not destroyed. We must push through that barrier, and beyond that barrier is a whole new level of flight. As I open up this altar tonight, I want to invite you, church, to come down. God spoke to us very vividly on Wednesday night that there's still yet some work that must be done. Come down tonight, and I want you to reconsecrate yourself, dedicate yourself, purpose in your mind that you are going through that barrier. Maybe tonight you've struggled your whole life with a whole flutter of issues, and you've never been able to break through. I want to challenge you tonight to come down to this altar. This is the beginning of your breakthrough point. This is where it can begin in your life. I want to encourage you tonight. You don't have to leave here broken. You don't have to leave here discouraged. You don't have to leave here frustrated. Your hands to the heavens and pray and ask God to give you